Turning your Bibles to the Old Testament, anywhere in the Old Testament. <laughs> 2014 marks our 40th anniversary as a church. Pastor Marvin Matthews in 1974 was willing to take a group that were originally meeting in the city, the Menzies Hotel to be exact, there at Wynyard. And he took this group of people and believed that God would have him start a church in the northern suburbs of Sydney. And this little remnant were prepared to join Pastor Marvin and Pat Matthews and Metropolitan Baptist Church. Chatswood began back in 1974. And I thank God for the ministry of this church. If it wasn't for the ministry of this church, I probably would not be here. And 2014 marks our 40th anniversary. And to coincide with our yearly theme, we are privileged to host the National Baptist Fellowship meeting this year, towards the end of September, early October. So our yearly theme here at Metropolitan Baptist Church will be the theme for the National Baptist Fellowship meeting. So since you're in the Old Testament, if you would turn to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs. And then as you make your way to the book of Proverbs, I'd like for you to turn to Proverbs chapter 22. Now, there are some wonderful verses here in Proverbs chapter 22. And a number of them could be, rightfully so, a yearly theme. But I'd like for you to make your way down Proverbs chapter 22 and go down to verse number 28. Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 28. This yearly theme is also a prayer for the people of God that we, as a church family, have endured 40 years of God's grace. And by the grace of God, my prayer is that we would not remove the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Here in Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 28, it reads, "Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set." Yearly theme, 2014, for Metropolitan Baptist Church. This is what God has laid upon my heart to lead the church in for this year. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask and pray as we open your holy word that you would lead us and guide us into spiritual truth. May the Holy Spirit be our teacher. And Lord God, I pray once again that you would instruct us and challenge us to be all that you'd have us to be. And we're thankful for 40 years of your grace here at Metropolitan Baptist Church. And oh God, I pray that by your grace that we would, if you choose to tarry your coming, to continue to uphold the ancient landmark. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Our yearly theme this year is taken from Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 28. Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. A landmark was used to identify the boundaries of a portion of land or land ownership. And it was common in Bible times to use either a stick in the ground or a pile of rocks that would create a mound in order to indicate the boundaries of a person's land. And these points of reference were placed at the corners of a given property. Now, if you turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 27, please, Deuteronomy chapter 27, Deuteronomy chapter 27, in verse number 17 it reads, "Cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark. And all the people shall say, Amen." God warns against removing a landmark. In fact, a very strong reprimand is given. Cursed is he that removes a landmark. And all the people agreed, Amen to that. Now, in order to secure, to safely secure correct boundaries of a property, it was common to not only post your title deed of land ownership within a community board of some sort within your town, it was also common to bury your title deed, a copy of your title deed, obviously within a sealed container, under the landmark. And that title deed became the final authority of land ownership. So, in other words, it was possible to remove the visible landmark. But buried under that landmark was a copy of the title deed. Now, you could bury that title deed a long way down. And so the idea is that that title deed that was buried below the surface gave evidence as to whether that outward landmark was correct and whether people had tampered with it. See, it's one thing to move the exterior landmark. It would be fairly evident that there's been some shifting taking place, especially when you've got a pile of rocks and to... It's evident that somebody's been doing some shifting. But even if the person was a perfectionist and he had the ability to move all four landmarks that were buried under each of your the title deeds were buried under each of your landmarks, then they'd have to dig, and it would be very obvious that somebody's been digging a hole. So the title deed buried below the landmark was the final authority of ownership. Now, what's the application for you and I in 2014? As we celebrate our 40th anniversary, what is it that God, not this pastor, I just do what head office tells me to do. I didn't drum up this thing. God gave me this thing. What does God want for you and I in 2014? What's the application of Proverbs 22:28? Remove not the ancient landmark that thy fathers have set. The title deed, as I've said, was the final authority of land ownership. The outward reflection of that was simply a pile of ordinary stones. May I submit to you the application is this. Our final authority for faith, for what we believe, and practice, how we operate as believers, as a New Testament church, is the Word of God. It is forever settled in heaven. The Word of God is our infallible, inerrant, and inspired landmark. Remove not the ancient landmark that thy fathers have set. We need to guard against shifting off the landmark of the Word of God. Because down through church history, people have shifted in their beliefs and practices of the Word of God. Remove not the ancient landmark that thy fathers have set. The title deed was the final authority. The Word of God is our final authority. Metropolitan Baptist Church, in 2014, as we rejoice in 40 years of God's grace, this is our challenge. This is God's message to you and I. Please turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, please. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's read verses 23 to 25. It reads, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. The word of God is eternal. The word of God is inspired. 2 Timothy, please. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for, let's say it together, doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Let's read together verse 17. That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. The Word of God is eternal. The Word of God is inspired. It is our title deed. It is our final authority. Remove not the ancient landmark that thy fathers have set. The world, the flesh, and the devil are working overtime with the goal of trying to shift the ancient landmark. The world, the flesh, and the devil are working overtime and shifting God's people off the ancient landmark, the title deed of the Word of God. And we need to determine as a holy people of God that we will stay true to the Word of God, the ancient landmark, and that we will gladly submit to the eternal Word of God, the inspired Word of God, in belief and also in practice. 2 Timothy chapter 4, please. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 to 4, the Bible reads, "Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come, and may I submit to you, is present right now, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts," plural, "shall they heap to themselves teachers," plural, "having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables." So the Bible teaches us there is a day coming in which people will have no interest in truth, but they will desire to have their ears tickled, so to speak. They will hear what they want to hear, and they will deliberately, volitionally turn away from the eternal Word of God. And that's why we, as the people of God, as we celebrate 40 years of God's grace here at Metropolitan Baptist Church, "Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set." God promises to exalt those that faithfully stand upon the landmark of His Word. Go back to Proverbs chapter 22, please. I've so meditated upon this that the page fell out of my Bible. Let me read to you verse 29. "Seest thou a man diligent in his business, he shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men." Now that follows verse 28. And what that is teaching in principle is simply this. God promises to exalt those that faithfully stand upon the Word of God. A man diligent in his business. What business? Removing not the ancient landmark. He shall stand before kings. God will exalt. And if Metropolitan Baptist Church is to perpetuate for another 40 years, then we need to remain upon the ancient landmark of the Word of God. Because if we do not, the end of verse 29 reads, "He shall stand before mean men." In other words, he will invite trouble. And may I submit to you, there are churches today, even churches of like faith, that are in trouble. Why? Because they have removed themselves off the ancient landmark of the Word of God. They've allowed the devil, they've allowed the flesh, they've allowed the world to shift them off the landmark of the Word of God. They're playing around and they're experimenting with principles that are grounded in the eternal Word of God. And therefore they're shifting off the ancient landmark, and as a result they're inviting trouble into their midst. But the Bible teaches us if we will remain diligent in our business to remove not the ancient landmark, God will exalt us. God will bless the people of God. God promises to exalt those that faithfully stand upon the landmark of His Word. But for those that move off the landmark of the Word of God, they will experience trouble, according to verse 29. And as we rejoice in our church's 40th anniversary this year, God is simply reminding us to remain, to remove not. Now the verse begins with those two words, "remove not," for a reason. Because it's possible to shift The world is constantly shifting, is it not? We are constantly moving. But I trust and pray that your life and my life is firmly grounded upon the Word of God. And even though the devil might come from one angle and the flesh might come from another angle and the flesh and the world might push from another angle, I trust that you and I as the people of God will say, no, I'm not moving. I'm going to keep my life on the Word of God. I'm going to allow the authority of the Word of God, not the world, not the flesh, not the devil, to govern what I do next. No, I'm going to remain and keep my life upon the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, please. 13 and 14. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. May God grant us the grace to continue in the Word of God, to continue to believe the Scriptures, and to continue to obey its teachings and its eternal principles. In Jude verse number 3, the Bible teaches us that we are to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. See, our title deed is the Word of God. And beloved, this morning I'd like to encourage you in 2014, please continue to live your life on the basis of God's Word. Allow the Word of God to be your authority in what you believe and what you do. God's landmark of the Word of God provides generational, from generation to generation, provides direction, perspective, and enables us to perpetuate, to continue. Because the Word of God liveth and abideth forever. And if our lives shift off the Word of God, then we are not going to perpetuate. God promises His blessing upon His Word. His Word endureth forever. And if the people of God will maintain a life that remains upon the Word of God and refuses to remove the ancient landmark which the fathers have set, that person will prosper, that person will be blessed of God. That's the church that will continue. Go back to 1 Timothy chapter 3 this time. In verse number 15 it reads, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself, to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. Note this next little statement. The pillar holds up. The pillar and ground, foundational. The pillar and ground of the truth. The church of the living God is to be the pillar and ground of the truth. In other words, the custodians of biblical truth are the people of God. It is not the Roman Catholic Church. It is the people of God. The church of the living God, those that have placed their faith in Jesus Christ, those that have been born again, not with corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, the living, eternal Word of God. We as the people of God are the custodians of biblical truth. The New Testament church, the church of the living God, is made up of men, women and children that have placed their faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. And within the walls of a New Testament church, within the assembly of a New Testament church, they are privileged and we are honored and we are responsible to be the custodians of biblical truth. God has entrusted his people with truth. And Metropolitan Baptist Church needs to continue to be the pillar and ground of the truth. Metropolitan Baptist Church needs to continue to be a place where men, women and children can be a part of. And be assured of the fact that they have removed not the ancient landmark, which thy fathers have set. If you go back to Proverbs chapter 22, please. Verse 28 reads, remove not the ancient landmark. Now, what does the word ancient mean? Well, it doesn't mean old age or out of date. That's not what it means. The Word of God is not out of date. The beliefs and the practices contained within the Word of God are not out of date. Remove not the ancient landmark. So the ancient is in reference to being set in time past. It is not referring to the principles and the practices of the Word of God being out of date, and therefore we need to get our brains together and be creative and work out some new ways on how we can worship God and work out some new, you know, ways of how we can reach people. No, the Word of God is set. The Bible teaches us that we are to worship Him in spirit and in truth. We are to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It is not about making the church more palatable to those that are without Christ, that are living like the devil. That is not the New Testament church. But the church is a holy place. A church is a place where the truth is upheld. And the gospel is preached. And sinners can walk into the New Testament church and see a people that love God. And give evidence of the fact that they love God. See? Remove not the ancient landmark. Don't remove that which is set before you. Then it goes on to clarify which thy fathers have set. The Word of God is our final authority, which thy fathers have set. And as we read the Scriptures, as we study the Scriptures, we find doctrine. We find principles that will help us to conduct ourselves in a way that's pleasing to Him. So God's landmark is the Word of God. And what's within the Word of God is set there by God. And as I consider the ancient landmark, or as it reads there in verse number 10 of chapter 23, remove not the old landmark, and enter not into the fields of the fatherless. God has set in place truth. God is the originator of truth. People come and go with all of their brilliant ideas, but God is the absolute standard and has absolute standards that are not negotiable. In other words, God is the full stop. This is God's full stop. Remove not the ancient landmark. And as we consider the Word of God as being God's full stop, so to speak, and as we consider the Word of God being God's absolute standard, we are mindful that the Word of God, our title deed, our ancient landmark, reminds us of God's authority over our lives. That God has authority over your life and my life. And remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Now, as I honour that principle, that I'm saying, God, you are my authority. Your word is my authority. You are my title deed. I belong to you. I am not my own. I belong to you. You hold the title deed. You are my authority. But also, it's so very, very important that you and I bear in mind that as we consider a landmark, that we understand that God is very purposeful. And God in His wisdom has made all things, and the Bible teaches us by Him all things consist. And within the ancient landmark of the Word of God, God provides for us some biblical boundaries. Biblical boundaries for our lives that will equate to growth, that will equate to godliness and holiness, and will keep us from sin. In Judges chapter 21, verse number 25, the Bible teaches us that man did that which was right in their own eyes. Every man did that which was right in their own eyes. And today, my friend, we have an epidemic within Christendom today. Absolute epidemic. Even amongst independent Baptists, where people are moving off the landmark of the Word of God and they're doing that which is right in their own eyes. And I'd like to challenge Metropolitan Baptist Church, remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers had set. Because God's landmarks are set there by God. God's landmarks remind us of God's authority over our lives. God's landmarks, the landmark of the Word of God, has purpose. I'm afraid that, on the whole, Christianity today is Christless, so little of Christ. Faithless, Bible-less, prayerless, powerless, ignorant, sinful, fleshly, and worldly. That is a summation of Bible Christianity on the whole today. Metropolitan Baptist Church, as we mark our 40th anniversary this year, let's renew our commitment to remove not the ancient landmark that thy fathers have set. Because if we are diligent to do so, God will exalt us, God will bless us. But if we allow the world and the flesh and the devil to shift you and I off the ancient landmark of the Word of God, then we will invite trouble. And if we will remain on the ancient landmark of the Word of God, then Metropolitan Baptist Church will prevail for another 40 years, if he tarries. That's my desire. I don't think I'll be around. Either way. But I'd like to think that this church will still be here. will still be a church that is grounded upon the Word of God, in belief and also in practice. And let's determine as individual Christians to live out our lives with the Word of God as our final authority. That's the application. In a very practical sense, that you and I guard lest we allow the world, the flesh, and the devil to shift us off the authority of the Word of God. Now, I'd like to give a number of applications of this very fact. And this will lead into my sermon for this evening. I'll look at some very practical areas that you and I need to be careful lest we move off the authority of the Word of God. But let me just whet your appetites for this evening's sermon by taking you to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, please. And I'll close with this verse. Ephesians 5, 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. I'd like to just close this sermon this morning by leaving you with this very practical application of this principle. Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. And I'd like to encourage you in 2014 to love the church. To love the church. To love Metropolitan Baptist Church. A church takes local application. A New Testament church is local. It is visible. It is assembled. There is no such thing as a universal church. That is Catholic theology. The word Catholic means universal. That's Catholicism. We are Bible-believing Christians. The New Testament church takes local application, applies locally. And may I submit to you that God tells us to love the church. And I'd like to encourage you in 2014, Christ Jesus gave himself for the church. The church is made up of redeemed individuals. And will you prove your love for the church, for Metropolitan Baptist Church, by being faithful in your support? Being faithful in your attendance. Being faithful in your involvement. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I'd like to encourage you, beloved, in 2014, remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Love the church. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Do you love Christ? Do you love Jesus Christ? Amen. Well, then you'd love what he loves. Amen. He loves Metropolitan Baptist Church. Amen. Because as he looks down, he sees, I purchased that group of believers with the blood of my son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Christ loved the church. Do you love the church? And this ought to be a priority for you. To be in church. To attend church faithfully. To get involved in the church. May I submit to you, your membership doesn't need to be at the RSL club, or the pub, or the Masonic lodge, or the tennis club, or the football club. Your membership as a child of God needs to be at Metropolitan Baptist Church, because that's what Christ loves. Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Jesus Christ established the church. I'd like to encourage you to set your life upon the church. The church will keep you focused. Will keep you focused. The church will keep you from possible harm. Yes, it will. See, if you spend your time in church, there's less potential that you will be tarnished by the world. It's in the church you'll become more like Christ. It's within the church you will build lasting friendships for all eternity. Today we see within Christendom a pulling down of the church. There are many what I call nomadic Christians, backpacking Christians, that have no regard for the New Testament church. There is no commitment in membership. There is no commitment in attendance. There is no involvement to a church family. Now, these people might be good people, but they're not biblical people. Rupert Murdoch's mother was a good person. She died last year. She gave a lot of her time and energy to charity. She was a good person, but she was not a biblical person. And without Christ, she's in hell right now, regretting that she failed to put Jesus Christ first in her life. There are good people out there, but then there are biblical people out there, and I'm telling you, there's some good people out there that call themselves Christians, but they have no regard for the church of God. These people are not biblical people. Be warned. They're out there. They're out there. Establishing these little house churches. Going down to Bunnings and buying a bunch of plastic chairs and arranging them around in the lounge room and gathering a group of so-called Christians together without a pastor, without any authority, without the correct Bible, and they're just all having a go, and they're singing a few hymns together, and then somebody gets up and gives their two bob and what the Bible means, and they convince themselves that's church. That's not a church. That's a house group meeting. Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. And I'd like to encourage you in 2014, beloved. Love the church. Now I'll look at some other areas this evening. That's our theme. And by God's grace, this theme will take us through for another 40 years. I guess this is a theme that applies to us as a church personally, but also collectively on our 40th anniversary. By God's grace, this will be our theme for our National Baptist Fellowship meeting. God loves you this morning. God wants you and I to rest our whole being upon the authority of the Word of God. Therein lies true peace, true happiness, true Christ-likeness. Let's bow for prayer.